makes you free, you're free indeed. So that's the scripture. Free indeed. So Lord, I pray that we would grab on to you today and that we would all experience and have a revelation of freedom in you, Lord. What that really means. Amen. This indeed. How many of you ever looked at this word indeed? I mean, some people try to dissect it into something that sounds good, but probably isn't necessarily scripture. Where it says you're free in what you do. You're free in the things you do, in your deeds. But that's not what the scripture says. Have you ever questioned somebody about something and they're trying to prove their point and you're not sure about their point? You ever been there? Where you're trying to see if this is really true? And finally, the guy convinces you with all the evidence and with everything there, and you say, you're right indeed, you are. Indeed, you are right. In other words, it's the final conclusion of a matter. It's the truth of whatever has come about. We're talking about freedom, and if the Son makes you free, you're indeed free. In other words, you are free. The trouble is we have a definition that we have in our minds about freedom. And here's the trouble, is we try to take our definition of freedom and we try to apply the scripture to what I know about freedom. Rather than let the scripture define freedom for me. You get that? If you start with your definition of freedom and then read the Bible to fit freedom into what you understand freedom to be, you get one answer, and sometimes a frustrating answer. Sometimes it doesn't even fit. You must start with what the Bible says about freedom, and then you need to adjust your life into what the Bible says. We're the ones that bend. It's probably a reality here that I can, if I say that it didn't start with you, that might shock some of you. Hopefully not. But it didn't start with us. It started with the one who created the universe from before the foundation of the world. He's the one. It all starts with Him. He defines everything for us. We don't get to make the definition. We are like sheep. We need to follow. We're a following people. So this, I just want to set the stage here. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. That's the end of the matter. If you don't feel free, it's because of the lack of understanding of what the Scripture is saying. If you feel in bondage, you're not living up to what the Scripture says. Because the Scripture says you are free. Indeed, you are free. If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. It's done. It's over. We need to catch up. We need to let the Scripture bend me. Let the Scripture form me. Let the Word of God change me. Don't let the world give you your definitions. Don't let your ideas give your definition. Don't let speculation and thoughts and whatever else form what is true. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. And that's the scripture right there. So what has Jesus done to make you free? The word freedom there has with it not being in slavery. But we probably need to let the scriptures unpack that for us. The world's definition of freedom does not match the scriptures' definition of freedom. Even America's definition of freedom doesn't match the world's definition of freedom. And if you try to make the scripture fit that, it probably isn't going to work. So to truly experience the freedom in Christ, our minds need to be renewed. Our minds need to be transformed into His image, into something other than what the world is feeding us. Because the world feeds us all kinds of stuff. Free indeed, the definition of freedom from heaven. Being biblically free indeed is the absolute final answer for freedom. There isn't any more freedom you can come into than what God has done for us. Now, I'm going to let you know that I can't cover this morning everything to do with that. But I'm going to get you started. Maybe you'll finish it off. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. How many of you struggle with the word propitiation? Has everybody got that straight? Propitiation? Well, I'll help you if you don't. The word propitiation is He sets you free from the penalty of sin. It's like there was a guy back in the turn of the century. His name was John Schoenberg. And he was the son of a pastor who kind of went awry. And he got into all kinds of trouble right here in the Bemidji area. He was a real rascal. He was a Golden Glover boxer. And he could take care of himself. But he was also a crook, a cheat, a womanizer, whatever. Drinker. Took advantage of people. And he hated the idea that they called God a father, because his father was not anything close to what he thought a father should be. And so his idea of God the Father was pretty bad. Well, this guy started getting in trouble with the law. And he was up in, up towards Big Falls, Big Fork area, in a logging camp, turn of the century. And there was another guy by the name of Frank Higgins, who had taken it upon himself to be one that he was the pastor of the Presbyterian Church here in Bemidji, but he also had a dog sled team that used to go up and minister to the loggers. So he'd have these camp meetings up there, and his John Schoenberger was at one of these camp meetings, and Frank Higgins started talking about God the Father, and his John Schoenberger left the meeting. And after the meeting, Frank Higgins went out in the woods and found him and ministered to him. At that time, he had 40 warrants out for his arrest. 40 warrants. I mean, the guy was a real scoundrel. So, out there in the woods, Frank Higgins leads this man to the Lord, and the man was transformed. The man was born again. The man met up with Jesus and was born again. 40 warrants on his arrest. He's got to deal with all this. How do you know that the Lord doesn't let you get by? He doesn't let you get off the hook with those things. So he's got 40 warrants for his arrest. So Frank Higgins tells John Schoenberger, he says, stay here in the camp and don't leave. And Frank Higgins heads for St. Paul. And there was a man down there by the name of Governor Johnson, who was a godly man. And Frank Higgins goes down to this guy and says, can you imagine this happening today? But he went down there to this governor, and he said to the governor, I have led a man to the Lord who has 40 warrants out for his arrest. But the man has truly been transformed. He is a new creation in Christ. He's no longer the scoundrel that he was. And Governor Johnson says, I want to meet him. And I'll be the judge of that. So he sends a telegraph up to the logging camp. And he tells John Schoenberg, who now had a big beard, he said, shave your beard, clean up. Yeah. He said, and put on a new suit. I have one already bought for you in Bemidji. And get on the train and come to St. Paul. So the guy cleaned up, put on a suit, and came down to St. Paul. And Governor Johnson interviewed him and met with him. And at the end of the interview, the governor says, this man is truly a son of God. And I'm going to erase his 40 warrants. One of the things he was wanted for is he had, I think it was over here in Nymo or someplace, he had a girlfriend. And they found out about his girlfriend. And they set up a sting for him there. And of course he came and they got him. And they took him down to the county jail and they threw him in the county jail. John Schoenberg. They took him and put him in jail. And he's in jail. Now, I told you he was a prize fighter, right? He was a boxer. So he enticed the sheriff. He started antagonizing the sheriff to the point where the sheriff could take it no longer. He opened up the door and he come in and he was going to beat John Schoenberg up. Little did he know that the tables turned. John Schoenberger beat the sheriff up, locked the sheriff in the jail, and took off. He took the keys with him, and on the way out of town, he threw the keys away. Little did John Schoenberg did not know that the sheriff had lost the second set of keys. And that was the only set for the jail. The sheriff ended up being in jail for some time. And the sheriff hated John Schoenberg. The governor just pardoned John Schoenberg of all 40 things. The sheriff was not pleased. And the sheriff said, if I ever see him, I'll kill him. John Schoenberg showed up in the sheriff's office and said, here I am. He'd heard this. You got the gun. I don't have a gun. You have every right. I'm sorry for what I did when I locked you up, but, you know, you have every right, and I give you full permission to shoot me right now. You said you wanted to kill me. Do it now. Get it over with. Of course, the sheriff, put in that situation, turned his head and said, get out of here. And John Schoenberg, in his cocky way, said, I didn't think you had the courage to do that, and left. The point is, how many warrants did you have out for your arrest when you were saved? You might say, well, I lived a pretty good life. Well, I can tell you, according to the standard in heaven, you were in trouble. You were not able to pay the debt for your sin. No way. But there was a man, Jesus Christ, who took up your account. He didn't go to Governor Johnson, but he went to the Father in heaven. And he, by the payment of his own blood, paid for your sins. And you were pardoned. Everything that was written about you, everything that was on account in heaven was wiped clean. I like what Roland Buck. If you've ever had a buck knife, that's the family, Roland Buck. But he was also a writer, and he wrote a book called Angels on Assignment. But in that book, he says, not only did God forgive you, but he forgot that he forgave you. You can forgive somebody, but can you forget that you forgave them? God does, as far as the east is from the west. Propitiation for our sins is the removal of the wrath that was set against you. Freedom. That's one freedom. You've been set free from that penalty. Freedom. Just don't think of that as just a little thing. It's an eternal thing. It's an eternal freedom. You can have temporary freedom. I'm talking about eternal freedom. That blood satisfied God for the wrath that was committed by the sins of man on this earth, once and for all. He took away the sins of the whole world. Have you ever, when you get to the Bible and it starts out, knowing this, what is that? That should grab your attention. If the Bible says knowing this, it's probably something worth knowing. So we're going to take a look at this verse a little bit concerning freedom. That our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Is that statement 100% true? It's true for you, but I don't know about for me. No, it's true for everyone who puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a once and forever true statement. It doesn't change. This scripture is true. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. When you died, you might say, well, it seems like I'm still upright and taking air. But the truth of the matter is something died in you. You died. We're going to find out what that something is. This isn't the freedom from the penalty of sin. That's the propitiation. This is the freedom from sin. There's a difference between the penalty that was against you. Yes, you were free from that. The blood of Jesus, when He put that before the altar in heaven, it was a done deal. The penalties for your sin were wiped away. But the death on the cross sets you free from not the penalty, it sets you free from sin. Singular. Not sins, but singular sin. Knowing this, Paul says, we got to know this. Know what? That our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with. We would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is free from sin. I'm going to take a look at those four things. Those four. If you know this, if you know these four things in your spirit, you'll be victory on a new level. You'll have victory on a brand new level of life. The old self has no power over sin or death. What you could do in the flesh, what you could not do in the flesh, you are able to do in the spirit. Once you know this, you can say with confidence, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, I was thinking about that verse. If you start with your own understanding of all things and try to apply this, I don't think that works. What are the all things for you? What are the all things for you? Continue to appreciate the prayers for my brother, who picture of health has always watched his diet, everything good, and he started getting some things in his head and found out he's got, or they've diagnosed him with metastatic brain cancer. Three lesions. One is bad enough. It doesn't sound so good, but things come at you kind of fast. Well, one of the all things my brother is facing is this. Old age. My mother is 94 and she's facing some things. It's life that you're going through today. Today you have all things. And Christ You can do all that's put before you today through Christ who strengthens you. It's not your choice to figure out the all things. The all things is what you're going through. But you'll be able to say it with confidence. I can get through today. I can get through tomorrow. I can get through every day that God gives me on this earth. I can get through it because Christ who strengthens me. That's the all thing. Anyway, just know that. Don't try to fit it in and say, well, let's see, I'm going to climb Mount Everest because I know that God, I can do all things through who strengthens me. You start planning your life around that verse, it may not work quite right. So you got to start, and you got to know that everything begins with God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." If you can see that the biggest freedom, the biggest biblical freedom, and here it is, if you want to know what the biggest and the best news for us of freedom is, to be free from self. If you could get rid of self today completely, but the point is Jesus has set you free from yourself. He already has set you free from yourself. Self is not the strong man in you any longer. You have been set free from self. We just have to rise up and deny it. Without knowing that our old self was crucified with Christ, this first becomes a work of yours to do. If you don't know it's done, then you're going to try to overcome self a different way. You're not going to do it from the perspective of the cross. You're going to do it from the perspective of the white knuckle club. I'm going to do it this time, and nobody's going to stop me this time. I'm going to do it. I'm going to deny myself forever. You can try that. It doesn't work. Take my word for it. How many New Year's resolutions have you made? Start with the Scripture. The Scripture says my old self was, past tense, crucified with Christ. It no longer lives. But Christ lives in me. You have to start there. You gotta start with the truth, because it's the truth that sets you free. Nothing else will. Nothing else will set you free. It's only the truth. And start with the truth. The truth is that your old self was, past tense, crucified with Him. If an unarmed, incapable, cardboard figure has on it, "Give me your cash, or I'll kill you." Now, did you get what kind of guy this was? An unarmed, incapable, cardboard figure says to you, because it says on there, "Give me your cash or I'll kill you." And you take out all your money and lay it at the foot of that cardboard thing and walk away and say, close call. Man, I just barely escaped. Lucky I gave it to him. I'm just trying to give you kind of an understanding of how we give in to self. That's how we give in to self. Self says, I gotta have it. I gotta have it. I gotta have it now. I need this. I gotta have this. And sometimes it's just, I just gotta have my way. I gotta have my rest. I gotta have my peace. I gotta have, I deserve this. You know, in marriage, we have some ideas of what marriage is. Now after 45, I'm looking at my wife, I don't want to get it wrong. After 45 years, I realize that some of my expectations of marriage were just a bunch of Steve Thompson. I'm just getting to it, Louis. 45 years, so I have some mercy and I have some grace. But the point is the truth is that you gotta start with God. What has He said about things? It's not what I say. It's not what some humanist says. It's not what some, it's gotta be what the Bible says. And if it isn't what the Bible says, then I'm not gonna buy into it. Fair enough? If the picture looks real enough, you might succumb. However, if someone would really enlighten you to the fact that it was just a cardboard figure with some words on it, I take my money back, thank you. In fact, push that cardboard thing over. Some of what we have given power in our life is nothing more than a cardboard picture that we've made up in our minds. Take every thought captive, every speculation, every imagination, and bring it before the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring it into obedience to the Word, not the other way around. The Scripture is here to enlighten you about the flesh. You were crucified with Christ and you no longer live. The flesh has no power over you unless you are deceived by it. Once you know that it's dead, you are free. Knowing, believing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I think that's our little thing on our bulletin board out here, right, Wanda? Isn't that the big thing? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I had these different colors, but it's hard to see them. But now we're on number two. It's a little bit brighter, but not much. That our body of sin might be done away with. Once you know that you've died, then we must know what to do with the body of sin. Again, we turn to Christ, the one who makes us free. Okay, here we go. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized where? Read it. We were baptized into His... You know what the word baptized means? What does the word baptized mean? When we read this, we immediately think of water baptism, and we think of being immersed in the water. But this one says we were baptized into His death. The word baptized, I hate to use this illustration because I really don't like it, because it talks about pickles, and if anybody knows me, I don't really like pickles. But the word baptized is used when you're making pickles. You take the pickle and you immerse it into the vinegar, whatever else he got, it's being baptized into that. It's put into it, and it's surrounded by it. Well, I'm telling you that you were baptized into Christ's death. That's good news, by the way. You might say, well, that's not real good news. But I'm telling you, the cross does have a fragrance. Okay? I think it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 2, it says it has a fragrance, but it's an aroma of death to those who are perishing. Well, what's perishing? Whatever died. You, self, was put to death. You were baptized into Christ's death. Therefore, we've been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised, okay, here comes the good news. You're put into Christ, baptized right into His death. You're immersed with Him wherever He goes, you go. You're in Him, you're in His death, He goes into the tomb, you go into the tomb. You go in with Him. But there is a resurrection. There is a resurrection. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. You see, it's life. It's an aroma of life to that which is being saved. So the cross kind of it runs on both sides of you. It applies to everything. Can you see why Paul says, I am determined to preach nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Because that's the answer for everything. Therefore, we've been buried with Him. Wow. What has been done with our flesh? Our flesh was buried with Him through baptism into death. Have you been baptized? Then where is your flesh? Do not be deceived by the lies of sin, but rather let your mind be renewed by the Scriptures. If you've been baptized, where is your flesh? Was it buried with Christ? True or not true? If it's not true, I'll close the Bible and I'll leave today because my message means nothing. If that is not true, if my flesh was not buried with Christ, then I have to still live with it. And you know what? Many people today still live with their flesh because they will not believe it. They will not accept it. Because of what they see. Well, the Scripture, if I read the Scripture and it says, we no longer walk by sight, but by faith. Faith. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I tell you, if you don't believe it, if you don't really believe it, then you're still stuck in your sin. You're still stuck in not only your sin, but everybody else's sin. And that makes it more complicated. Colossians 2:10, and in Him you have been made complete. How many of you think you need someone else to make you complete? Huh? Have you ever thought about that? Young people that are getting married, do you need your spouse to make you complete? No, you don't. You're there to please your spouse. It's not that your spouse is supposed to give you something. We're, through love, we serve one another. It's not about, I need something to make me complete. That's a lie. I've been made complete. In Him you've been made complete. He's the head over all rule and authority, and in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Now listen, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Colossians 2:10. Did He do it? Has He actually circumcised that thing out of you? True or not true? The matter is truth. He has. Hosea 4:6. The trouble that overcomes on this world because of the lack of knowledge in Jesus Christ and what He has done for you and me. In this world you have tribulation. Can you hear me? In this world you will have tribulation. And I'm telling you, you can make it because of Christ who strengthens you. And the end of that verse says, but take courage. Another translation says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. If Christ is for you, if God is for you, who can be against you? True biblical freedom is knowing that your flesh has been done away with. If you believe that for yourself, can you believe it for your wife? Can you believe it for your husband? Can you believe it for one another? That it's done, finished, complete. Or are we going to continue to walk by sight rather than by faith? Okay, now we're on the third one. I should have. Does the third one look a little brighter? Just a little bit. We would no longer be slaves to sin. One is enslaved to that which has power over him. Does sin have power over you? If you say yes, you're saying that the Scripture isn't true. Now, our life and death is in the power of the tongue. What we say is really important. What we say about each other is very important. What we say about ourselves is very important. I'm telling you, does sin have power over you? No. The answer is a resounding no. Sin is a part of the domain of darkness. Sin originates with Satan. He's the ruler of the domain of darkness. Okay, let's go here then. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light, He rescued us from the domain of darkness, yes or no, and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Has it happened? Yes or no? For every Christian, you're no longer of the world. You live here as an alien and a stranger. You are now members of Christ's body, which resides in the kingdom of His beloved Son. Another kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's Him. Where does sin reside, you suppose? Where does sin find its place? In the kingdom of His beloved Son or in the kingdom of darkness? Shouldn't be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Where do you reside? Where are you? That's something you have to come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if there is no revelation, you will continue walking in the same thing here and believe that this is all there is. And you'd start singing Frank Sinatra's song. If that's all there is, my friend, Then let's start dancing and bring out the booze and have us a ball, if that's all. But the truth of the matter is we have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son, where you have redemption. You've been bought back with a price. Bought back, that means that someone paid for you. That means you're not your own anymore. You are paid with a price. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, we now live in freedom with Christ in His kingdom. He who has died is free from sin. Singular. Have you died? Did Christ take you with Him to the cross? Were you baptized into His death? Were you born again through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? If you can answer yes to all those, are you a new creation in Christ? Are old things gone and behold, new things have come? Is that true for you? If so, then why would sin, a commodity of the kingdom of darkness, still control you? If the first ones are true, why does sin beckon from the kingdom of darkness all the way over to where you are and still control you? The truth of the matter is we have a problem here. Who is that guy that says we got a problem and it's right here? I think it was in River City, right here in River City. Some movie I saw once. We have a problem right here, and you know what it is? It's unbelief. We don't believe it. We listen to, you can listen to me talk up here about all this stuff, but if unbelief is ruling in your heart, I'm just talking, and my words are bouncing. Because unbelief still keeps us giving homage to this cardboard, wasted thing which doesn't even dwell in my kingdom. Sin does not dwell in my kingdom. I am in the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's my home. My dwelling place is in Him. Why would I even give that sin a place? I can tell you where the deceit comes in. A true biblical statement is that love now controls us, concluding this, that one died for all, therefore all died. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Love controls us, concluding one thing. He died, therefore I died. So then I was crucified to the world, and the world was crucified to me. That's scripture, by the way. I am enslaved no longer to sin, and sin no longer enslaves me. In other words, I am free from my sin and I am free from your sin. You ready to say that? I'm free from my sin and I'm free from your sin. I'm free from sin. Sin no longer controls me. I didn't cut it. Jesus cut it. He cut the ties to sin for me through death. Through His death, He cut the tithe. So, sin no longer controls me. Now, that's a wonderful thing. But now having been freed from sin. Wow. Now having been freed from sin. Now having been freed from sin, We're talking about something that's happened, something that's over with, something that is all done. You derive your from sin and we don't like the next part, do we? Let's just forget about that. No. Now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God. I mean, enslaved to God. Now, that's something else. You derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. I'd say it's a pretty good deal. You've been set free from sin so that you can have eternal life. And you're following a commander-in-chief who does it right every time. You can trust that when he says go, it's time to go. When he says stop, it's time to stop. Whatever he says is the right thing. So you're not following just anybody here. You're following the one who gets it right every time. He gets it right 100%. Never gets it wrong. We have a commander-in-chief. So, if the Son sets you free indeed. We have seen what biblical freedom is. However, biblical freedom that we also become enslaved to God. When God is all about surrendering to Him and becoming a slave, but with sin, it's about being driven. I want you to get the difference. Sin is like someone that tied you up and makes you do things you don't want to do. He's always after you. With God, it's up to us. He sets you free to follow Him. But I'm telling you, He's never going to come and twist your arm. He's not going to come and twist your arm and say, follow me. You have to do that on your own free will. You do that as a surrender. You give yourself to God as a bond servant. You give yourself to God. You give yourself. It's all about giving. It's all about giving. Love is all about giving. It's not about taking. So when you come into the love of God, it's about giving yourself over to and surrendering yourself to God. Be enslaved to God. Be a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. God is the only one who keeps us in true freedom. Once you know that God is freedom, then being joined to Him and obedient to Him will keep us free indeed. You can be free from your own sin, that's good. And you can say, it's no longer I that sin, but sin in me. It's when you can say that for your brother and sister that it really starts setting you truly free from sin. When the closest one to you does something that offends you, and it no longer controls you, you're free. You're free. You'll know when it no longer controls you when you can still love the same both ways. You love somebody and then they offend you and you love them just as much after the offense. You know that something has happened to you when that happens. When you can still have love in your heart the same as you did before. Well, like I said, there's a lot more to do with freedom in Christ. But I'm telling you, these that I have said today are true. And they're true for you. They're true for everybody. But you have to believe it. You have to believe it, and once you really believe it, you start speaking it. Once it comes out of your lips, once you start saying it to each other, once you start confessing it one to another, that I am free from sin. I have been crucified with Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ, and so are you. Sin is something that's part of the domain of darkness, and we've been taken out of that, both of us. The only reason we still have trouble with sin is because we've been deceived. We're still believing a lie. We're still operating in the kingdom of darkness when we've already been transferred here. Why do we think we're there? Why should I even give any credence to that kingdom any longer? Two mosquitoes, one on one side of the arm and one on the other side. And the one mosquito, he's drinking real good, and the other mosquito is blowing up. And the one on the other side says, "Pull out, Mabel, pull out, I think you hit an artery." I'm telling you, pull out. Pull out of that kingdom before you explode. We need to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the only thing that will set you free, is the truth that's in Christ Jesus. In Him we have truth, and in Him we have freedom. Lord, I thank You for today. And Lord, as we take communion, let us take communion with thanksgiving today for what You have done to set us free. That we would again believe in You, even for things that we might have stopped believing. Lord, help us believe again. Help us put our trust and our faith again in what You have done at the cross. And that the cross really becomes the center of each of our lives. That the cross of Jesus Christ is the answer for our freedom. And it's the answer for eternal life. It's the answer for the new creation. For we have been born again through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to believe again. Help us to believe for ourselves and believe for each other that we can finish out the race loving one another, serving one another in love. Help us, Lord. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.